Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is on the air because life and truth matter. As a tribute on the passing of renowned author, speaker, and theologian, Dr. R.C. Sproul, we bring to you a special archived interview with Dr. Sproul from a decade ago. To understand the culture in which we live, you need to be familiar with the ideas that have shaped it. The Consequences of Ideas audio CDs trace the contours of Western philosophy throughout history and show how our culture evolved to what it is today. Listen and you will hear the echoes of important thinkers' ideas in your daily conversations, especially as you witness to unbelievers. To get your copy of the Consequences of Ideas CDs, call 888-7000-CRI or order on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be with you as Bill Darcy Sproul is with us. And I have counted over the years a great privilege to know R.C. Sproul as a mentor and a friend. And this is your opportunity to speak directly to him and to benefit from some of the great things that he has put in writing for you as well as communicating in an audio forum. The Consequences of Ideas is the featured resource. It's an overview of philosophy by R.C. Sproul, and it's one of the best resources that I have personally ever encountered in philosophy. It's an overview of philosophy, and it will give you the basics you need to have on one of the most significant issues that you can imagine. It's available when you dial 888-7000-CRI or when you log onto the World Wide Web at equip.org. And when I say that, RC, and welcome to the broadcast, when I say that, what I'm saying is that philosophy helps us to think factually and foundationally. And I have discovered over the years, as I've had many different employees in our research department, that the best thinkers were always the ones who were trained philosophically. Cash that out for us.
Boy, I think, you know, I think that's really true. And I'm so grateful to God for the opportunity that I had to study the history of philosophy. I was a philosophy major in college, and I took more advanced philosophy courses in seminary, and then part of my doctoral work, although my degree was in dogmatic systematic theology, I also had to do considerable work in graduate school in philosophy. And my first teaching position was teaching philosophy. And where that came in so handy to me was when I went to seminary. I went to a seminary that for the most part was a monument to unbelief. I mean, there was an attitude of skepticism and cynicism towards the reliability of Scripture and to Orthodox Christianity. And one of the things that helped me deal with that is that I could spot immediately the philosophical presuppositions that these critics were using. I could see Hegelianism raising its head and understood where these ideas came from and was equipped to counteract them. And also, to me, one of the most important things that philosophy helped was to help us read critically. I don't mean critically in the negative sense, but when I read the newspaper, when I read a philosophical work, when I read anything, I read it with a comb, Hank. I look at it and I analyze it. I mean, does the conclusion really follow from the data, or is there an illegitimate inference here? And so the science of philosophy that so much helps us to gain the tools to recognize error.
Philosophy is a word that has fallen into disrepute. We think so often when we hear the word philosophy about vain philosophy. Help people to understand why philosophy is not a dirty word, why philosophy is axiomatic to a Christian worldview?
Well, the very word itself, phileo sophia, means the love of wisdom. And, of course, we're told from the very beginning in Scripture that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so, biblically, there is a profound concern for truth. There's a profound concern for ultimate reality. And I honestly believe that the biggest questions that philosophers investigate in metaphysics, for example, are the very questions that Scripture answers. You remember when Paul debated with the philosophers there in Athens at the Areopagus, he made, I think, the most profound statement in the Bible when he said, "In him you live and move and have your being." The three most difficult questions of philosophical inquiry are life. What is it? Where did it come from? Being. I mean, that's the ultimate metaphysical question. Being, becoming, the debates with Plato, Aristotle, and so on. And motion, even today, the issue of motion befuddles the scientists. And what Paul said is the fountainhead, the source of all life, is God. There can be no movement, no motion, apart from the energy that comes from God. And the basis of our existence is found in the eternal being of God. So that life, motion, and being all have their source in the nature of God himself. And that's at the apex of the philosophical endeavor.
A lot of people can't make the connection between the leading thinkers who shaped Western thought and where they live in their real worlds today. In other words, ideas have consequences, as you point out, as what we call the series, the consequences of ideas. But there have been just a number, really a few ideas that have shaped Western thought. And you have pointed out in this series in a profound fashion how ideas really have a practical implication in how we live our lives and how our children and their children's children are going to live their lives.
You know, in the history of Western thought, the philosophers have been pretty much in the academic technical realm. And then their ideas that are very complex at times and difficult are then communicated to the broader culture by the artists. And if you look at the history of art, music and painting, sculpture, architecture, they all tend to follow the same pattern of motion that's going on in the world of abstract philosophy. Now, people may look at me and say, well, you know, who cares what Kierkegaard said? Who said cares what Hegel said? Who cares what Plato said? I don't get all of that. I don't understand it. I say, well, all right, let me ask you this. How much influence is the music your kids are listening to have on their lives? How much influence are the motion pictures that they see where an imaginary world is created on the screen and draws you in it? You live in it during that time that you're watching the film, and you are being bombarded with ideas of behavior, what's acceptable, what isn't acceptable. And I hope that we can see that the art forms that are being communicated through music, through film, through the novel, are having a massive impact on our culture. And all that that is the second tier of communication of philosophical ideas. The impact of existential philosophy, Hank, of Camus and of Sartre and others in the 20th century was devastating.
Marxism.
Yes.
Where the rubber meets the road as well.
Yeah, like I said to you before, when I was in high school, there were only 2 billion people in the world. When I was 50, there was 2 billion people living behind the Iron Curtain. And I think about Karl Marx, a disenchanted Jew who was upset because when his father moved into a Lutheran community, joined the Lutheran Church. And the young Marx saw that, and he says, my father's a hypocrite. He's only going to church because of economic reasons. And he goes, Karl Marx, as a student, goes to the British Museum in England and sets forth this whole theory of explaining a philosophy of history by the impact of economic forces, and spins out his whole philosophy of Marxism, which turned the world upside down.
You have for years taught with passion and profundity that the Bible is God's inerrant revelation, and that it is the infallible repository for redemptive revelation. We then say we believe, we hold to the fact that God has spoken, these are his words. The attendant question is, if God has spoken, what has God said? And therefore, there's always been a great emphasis on your part in teaching the layperson how to read the Bible for all it's worth.
Yes, I wrote a book for that, you know, Knowing Scripture, you're aware of that, and trying to give the guidelines for biblical interpretation, because I think one of the most important principles of biblical interpretation ever set forth was set forth by Luther in the midst of the controversy of the 16th century, when he affirmed the principle of the literal interpretation of the Bible, what he called technically the sensus literal, literalis. And I've had people say to me, Hank, you don't interpret the Bible literally, do you? And I never say no, and I never say yes. My answer is always the same. I say, of course. What other way is there to interpret? Well, they don't know what literal interpretation means. The sensus literalis means that we are to interpret the Bible in the sense in which it is written. That's what literal means, written. And so when we come to the Bible, we read a noun as a noun, a verb as a verb, an adjective as an adjective. You interpret poetry as poetry, historical narrative as historical narrative, indicative as indicative, and so on. There's no magic mantra that you bring to the Bible where you can twist and distort the language of Scripture into what Luther called a waxed nose. But you have to pay attention to the literary style and form in which it is written. And so much of the debate over what the Bible says is because people can't agree on how you interpret symbols, how you interpret poetry, how you interpret historical narrative. The liberals want to take the historical narrative and turn it into poetry. And some other schools of evangelical thought, as you know, want to take the poetry and turn it into historical narrative. And you got to say a pox on both of your houses, because both of them are violating that foundational principle of interpreting the Bible as it is written.
And that's particularly true with the book of Revelation, which is not just revelation in the sense of an unveiling. It's not an apocalypse in that sense alone. It is an unveiling. It is an apocalypse in the sense of a linguistic matrix that is deeply embedded in the wellspring of the Old Testament.
Oh, the key to interpreting Revelation is, and the difficulty of Revelation, as you know, is because there's so much images in their imaginative language and highly symbolic language. And the way to interpret that is to look and see how the rest of the Bible uses that kind of language. I think the key to interpreting Revelation is the Old Testament. You see that the same images, the same forms, are used, for example, in communication of God's judgment on cities. And you'll see that same kind of language being used in the New Testament, the Olivet Discourse, and here in the book of Revelation. And a crass wooden literalism is what distorts the book of Revelation, in my opinion. I think you have to use that principle of interpreting Scripture by the Scripture, see how these forms and structures are used. Some fundamental principles of biblical interpretation that are violated every day: that you interpret the implicit in light of the explicit. People take something, they draw an implication for it, and then they'll get rid of the explicit teaching on the basis of what they think was implicit. And so you interpret the difficult or the obscure in light of the clear, not the clear in light of the obscure. And you interpret a historical narrative in terms of the didactic, not the didactic in terms of the narrative. That's what I go through in my book there, Hank, as you know, to try to give some basic guidelines to people that are just foundational, actually, not just to the interpretation of the Bible, but to the interpretation of any book.
What are the books that we have recommended over the years? Knowing Scripture by R.C. Sproul. You can access it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And remember to order today The Consequences of Ideas, an overview of philosophy, understanding the concepts that have shaped our world. An important resource available right now when you dial 888-7000-CRI. It's also available on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you're right mid Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. If you can join the Bible Answer Man support team, go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team. We'll be right back with more.
As we take this brief time out in the program, call and order The Consequences of Ideas CD collection from Master Communicator R.C. Sproul. Dr. Sproul traces the contours of Western philosophy throughout history and demonstrates the massive consequences these ideas have had on our world events, theology, the arts, and culture, as well as in our everyday lives. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or order on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. That's www.equip.org. Have you seen the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal? It's CRI's publication that keeps you up to date on today's religious movements and scriptural insight. The Christian Research Journal is an exceptional value. Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture, Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Join a team working together for the extension of God's kingdom. Join the Bible Answer Man monthly radio support team. As a support team member, you pledge to make a monthly gift toward the work and ministry of the Christian Research Institute. When you do, you help us maximize the reach and impact of the Bible Answer Man broadcast around the world. And you help keep the Bible Answer Man on the air in your community.
Hank, I just want to thank you for all the great work you've been doing. I listen to you every day. I will concur, at 52 years of age, you have changed my life. I have listened for many years and had been so blessed at your knowledge of the Bible and your ability to cope with every caller. So, Lord bless you. My wife and I send offerings to you. We'll continue to. And I pray that others who hear this message will do so also. Lord bless.
Become a member of CRI's support team today. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call CRI right now, 888-7000-CRI, or join online at equip.org. Thank you for prayerfully and financially standing with us. And now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
If you think philosophy is irrelevant to your daily life, think again. In The Consequences of Ideas, Dr. R.C. Sproul, my guest in studio today, demonstrates that in order to understand the mindset of our day, we must become familiar with the streams of thought that shape the contours of our culture. From the ideas of the ancient Greeks to the Christian thinkers of the Middle Ages to the philosophers of the modern and postmodern eras, he traces the contours of Western philosophy throughout history. In this overview, Dr. Sproul examines the thinkers who have influenced succeeding generations right down to the present day. In other words, the ideas are influencing you right now today, and most of you don't know it. The Consequences of Ideas are available to you right now. It's a CD series. It's a must. It's something that I continue to listen to, and I've been listening to RC for longer than I care to admit. It's available right now, 888-7000-CRI, or on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You know, I've been listening to URC since 1979.
You must be getting
over and
tired.
Over and yeah. Over again.
Oh, well, maybe now you'll get it right.
One of the things that you have said over and over again, it's not original to you, but you've certainly popularized it, and that is, to any serious Christian, the unexamined life is not worth living.
Well, I certainly believe that, because life is too precious to just go by the seat of our pants and never stop and think. I mean, God never wants us to park our brains in the parking lot. Yeah, I get this all the time from people saying, well, I want to keep it simple. I just want to have a childlike faith. And the Bible warns us against that. We're to have a childlike faith in the sense that we have an implicit trust in the Father. But over and over and over again, the Bible calls us to maturity. We're to be babes in evil, but in understanding, we are to be men. We are not to be satisfied with living off the milk. We need to get to the meat of the Word. And that involves careful examination of what it means to be living as a Christian.
Talking to R.C. Sproul, your opportunity to speak directly to him right now. I want to go to the phone lines, talk to Mark. He's listening on KKHT in Houston, Texas. You're on with Dr. R.C. Sproul. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. Hey, this is quite an honor to talk to both of you guys. R.C., I'm a huge fan, and I tell people that after being a disciple of Jesus Christ, I've listened to you so much that I'm next to him, a disciple of R.C. Sproul. So a huge fan of yours, R.C.
Well, there's an unbridgeable chasm between the first, the one you're following, and the second one. But
Amen. Amen. And I also would say I did think you had your hands full, though, in 1983 with Greg Bahnsen on apologetical arguments. Anyway, I wanted to just say that, ask you a question. In fact, I'd love to ask you two questions if I could. First one, I'm reading Cur Deus Homo by St. Anselm of Canterbury, and he lays out an argument for the atonement and specifically how man can pay his debt. And he says in two places that, in one hand, God will not pay the debt because God has nothing to pay. He committed no crime, therefore he pays nothing. And yet man cannot pay because he's a finite being and his penalty is one of infinite. And I wonder then, how do we then, if you could maybe clarify Anselm's argument for me, how is it that we're to understand his argument? How can the God-man, Jesus Christ, how can he actually pay that penalty if he is both fully man and fully God, both of which Anselm argued are incapable of paying?
In brief, because you've asked a question that's quite complex, but the key word that I think you've used so far, Mark, is the word pay. How can a man, the human Christ, pay the infinite penalty of sin? And I think it's very important for us to understand the difference between what's called a pecuniary debt or a commercial debt and a moral debt. If I owe Hank Hanegraaff here $10 and I don't have the money to pay him, my friend over here, Steve, can reach in his pocket and give Hank that $10 in my behalf. And because that money's legal tender, Hank is obligated to receive that in full payment for what I owe him. But that's a commercial debt. When you get to a moral debt, it's a little different. If Hank steals $10 from me and Steve offers to pay that $10 back to me in Hank's behalf, since it's a moral transgression, I don't have to accept it. And so the first thing we have to understand is that God is dealing here with the payment of a moral debt, not a commercial debt, and therefore is not obligated to receive it. Then I think that's what Anselm's getting at when we cannot offer, even Christ cannot offer a payment that is so valuable inherently that God has to accept it. Here is where implicitly you find the concept of imputation. The only way the God-man can satisfy our debt and can satisfy the demands of God's justice, which is what Anselm was most concerned about, the whole concept of propitiation, is that the only way he can do it is because God imputes the sin of human beings to Christ, who willingly accepts it, and Christ pays the death penalty, the covenantal penalty, by giving out his life. And God doesn't have to accept that, but the fact that he accepts it is a testimony to his grace as well as to his justice, because he deems that sacrifice as sufficient to satisfy his justice. There's where we get the foundation for the substitutionary satisfaction view of the atonement, which I think Anselm brilliantly sets forth, because he's showing us that the atonement was absolutely necessary, that God's justice and righteousness had to be satisfied. And it was satisfied only insofar as God was willing that it be satisfied by the sacrifice of the God-man.
Much more could be said. Right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Dana, listening in Houston, Texas. You're on with R.C. Sproul. Hi, Dana.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a son who has graduated with his bachelor's degree in philosophy from a state university here in Texas, and in the course of his study for the past 5 years has decided he's an atheist. Having grown up in a conservative Christian faith, music is a massive part of his life, and he has been very much influenced by popular music and by movies, as you were speaking of earlier, and I'm afraid that I have been guilty of flying by the seat of my pants, living by the seat of my pants, as you were speaking, and have not kept up with Christian argument against modern-day philosophy. So my question is there a book that you might recommend, aside from Consequences of Ideas, that might deal in a more serious, complicated way with arguing against the world philosophy that he has bought into now as a result of his 5 years of study in a godless culture?
Well, as far as my own writings are concerned, I have a book called If There's a God, Why Are There Atheists? The original title was The Psychology of Atheism, because secular philosophy keeps attacking Christianity on the basis that the only reason that people embrace it is because it's some kind of opium for their souls, a crutch for them to
right.
to live in their lives, and they beat that drum day in and day out. What I try to show in this book is that the crutch is on the other leg, that there are profound psychological motives for rejecting God, because the greatest obstacle to our behavior is the character of God. Now, when you're reaching out to your son, the first thing you need to do is be the most loving, caring mother that you possibly can be.
Mm-hmm.
And but as far as dealing with his questions, the good news is that according to Romans chapter 1, though there are many professions of atheism by fallen people, everybody knows that God exists, that God makes himself known irresistibly to every human being, but we don't like that knowledge. We repress that knowledge, and I deal with that at great length if you care about it in that book that I just mentioned. But
yes.
Again, the power to reach anybody is the gospel. There is no program. There is no technique. I don't believe that apologetics can win anybody to Christ, although I think there's very important value to apologetics. But the main thing is to understand the gospel itself and communicate it to your son, because that's where the power is.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your answer, and I will, I'll get your other book, If There's a God, Why Are There Atheists?
Right.
Thank you so much for your time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dana, for your call. What do you make of this militant atheism that is afoot today? Richard Dawkins,
you have
Christopher Hitchens, Bart Ehrman,
right.
People who are, in a very militant fashion,
yes.
attacking the very notion of God and saying belief in God is the root of all evil.
All right. Well, what we call the journalistic phase, the popularizing phase of it that these men have done. I used to teach a course on the history of atheism, Hank, and looking at the serious atheists, people like Feuerbach and Marx and Sartre and Camus and that, those sort of things, and examine the philosophical foundations of their thought. But historically, the classical synthesis, for example, that was defended by Thomas Aquinas, was so powerful. The apologetics of the Middle Ages were so powerful that even those who were hostile towards God were very careful not to speak out against the existence of God, because they knew that the apologetic arguments were so strong that they made themselves look like fools attacking it. But that collapse of the synthesis, and people have tried to just take believe in God by some kind of leap of faith, and the culture and its secularization is now just given open season to theists, where it's perfectly acceptable to mock theism and Christianity in the media and get away with it. And so I think there's a cultural shift, and the restraints against this kind of attack on Christianity have been removed by the collapse of sound apologetics.
Right back in just a moment with more of R.C. Sproul. Please don't touch that dial.
We'll be back with Hank and R.C. Sproul in just a moment. The Consequences of Ideas, An Overview of Philosophy with R.C. Sproul, is a collection of history's most influential ideas and is a must-have for anyone who wants to understand what has influenced past history, modern culture, and today's church. To order the Consequences of Ideas CD collection with R.C. Sproul, call 888-7000-CRI or order on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can write to CRI, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Stay tuned. We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man in just a moment. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Thanks for staying with us here on The Bible Answer Man. The greater our familiarity with the ideas that have shaped our culture over the centuries, the greater our ability to understand and influence that culture for Christ. From the ancient Greek thinkers Plato and Aristotle to the Christian philosophers Augustine and Aquinas to the molders of modern thought, R.C. Sproul traces the contours of Western philosophy throughout history and demonstrates the massive consequences these ideas have had on world events, theology, the arts, our culture, as well as our everyday lives. To order the Consequences of Ideas CD collection with R.C. Sproul, call 888-7000-CRI or order on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. And now, returning with his guest R.C. Sproul, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Talking to R.C. Sproul about the consequences of ideas and understanding how the concepts that shaped our world are concepts that start in an ivory tower but have real teeth in the world in which we live. The question I want to ask you before we go back to the phone lines is, how does understanding the concepts or the consequences of ideas that have shaped our world help us in turn shape our world? In other words, where's the practical reality for this? Someone gets the CD series and listens to it. How does that then help them to shape their world right now, not only for themselves, but for their kids?
Well, like I said earlier, that the public arena is the place where there's a conflict of ideas going on every day. There can't be structures that are changed in a culture unless certain ideas become prominent. I'll never forget, Hank, watching the Senate Judicial Committee interrogating Clarence Thomas when he was nominated for a seat on the Supreme Court. And Joe Biden asked him a view about natural law. Do you remember that?
I remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah, right. And Clarence Thomas affirmed his confidence in natural law, and Biden just went after him like there was no tomorrow. Like, what could be more ridiculous in this day and age that somebody would believe in natural law? There are so few law schools today that still hold to natural law. Now, if you look at the Constitution of the United States, the Declaration of Independence, you see the manifest embracing of principles of natural law that are foundational to the government of the United States of America. Fast forward to Oliver Wendell Holmes, where in his introduction to his classic work on case law, said the time has come where law can no longer be based upon some transcendent religious, metaphysical norm, or even upon nature, but law can only be based upon the preferences of a group in any given generation. And so immediately, behavior, law itself, was ripped out of its normative casing. And that, when that happens, all you have left is preferences. And so the people who can marshal the greatest strength through lobby groups and all the rest, they can get the law that they want. It's the law of the jungle. And when that happens, the whole culture is turned upside down. The whole Roe v. Wade thing could never have happened, in my judgment, if there hadn't first been a collapse of the understanding of natural law. So what we have to do from the apologetics viewpoint is that we have to reconstruct the foundation of natural law. And when we do that, the whole shape of legislation changes. And as the legislation changes, so the cultural mores will change as well. It's a lengthy process. But again, ideas are having radical consequences here.
As the name of the series, The Consequences of Ideas, available to you right now. Give us a call, 888-7000-CRI, or order online at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Susan next, listening on KPRZ in San Diego, California. You're on with Dr. R.C. Sproul. Hi, Susan.
Hello. It's so good to talk to you both.
Hi, Susan.
My question, I'm reading through the Bible, and especially the story parts with my teenage son, and we've been through New Testament and Old Testament, and the Old Testament is quite hard to read because, well, I guess to digest because of the killing that is done, to get rid of the inhabitants of the land or all of that God ordered them to do. In the New Testament, when Jesus is around, we aren't called to exterminate other people. I guess we are called to show Christ's love. So I know because Christ came that makes the covenant complete, I think, but how do you rectify that, the Old Testament and New Testament? I'm trying to see God's difference and explain that to my teenage son.
Okay. I hear this question quite frequently, Susan. There seems to be almost an irreconcilable conflict between the character of God as displayed in the Old Testament and as he is displayed in the New Testament. The idea is that The God of the Old Testament is a God of wrath. The God of the New Testament is a God of love and mercy. That's really a vast oversimplification. In the first place, the most violent expression of wrath that we find anywhere in the Bible is in the New Testament, where the only time an innocent person is exposed to the wrath of God is on the cross. In fact, our very redemption is based upon the willingness of the Son to take the wrath and all of its violence upon himself in our stead. Now, at the same time, we see in it the marvelous grace in that it is our substitute who receives that judgment rather than ourselves. But don't forget that the judgment that he received was real judgment and real violence. And by the same token, in my judgment, the history of the Old Testament is the history of almost unbelievable long-suffering and patience of a holy God with an unholy people. And that God, time after time after time, reaches out to these people who are hardened in their hearts and stiff in their neck. He gives them chance after chance after chance after chance, and they take advantage of his grace. Now, you do have these episodes where God brings judgment, beginning initially in the flood, where that judgment goes on almost the whole world. And then you see what's most difficult is the action of God's using Israel as his arm of judgment against pagan nations when he institutes the harem in the conquest of Canaan, where he commands them to kill men, women, and children. And we look at that and we say, how can God do that? Well, we should be asking, how could these people be so obstinately wicked towards a holy and just and righteous God? If God called you, Susan, to be violent to me, I wouldn't like it, but I couldn't complain about it before God, because you can't come to grips with the God of the New Testament without first realizing that the God of the New Testament is the God of the Old Testament, and he is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that that violence, that when God introduces it, he warns the people of Israel, said, remember, I'm not using you as a rod of judgment because you're any better. And if you don't watch out, I'll bring the same kind of judgment upon you. I remember Hans Küng, the controversial Roman Catholic theologian, dealing with these problems. He said, keep in mind that in the Old Testament, there were like 30 or so sins that were capital offenses, and that list seems to be reduced radically in the New Testament to just a couple. He said, but keep in mind that the Old Testament had already gone through amazing reduction of capital crimes, because in creation, all sin, every sin was a capital crime. The slightest sin, we need to understand, Susan, is an act of cosmic treason, and there's no reason why you can give or that I can give, since we got out of our beds this morning, why God hasn't justly wiped us out. Because even as Christians, I continue to act in defiant disobedience of my Creator.
Thank you for your call. R.C., we're almost out of time. A couple of questions on a personal level. What motivates you? What stokes your fire every day to continue doing what you have been doing so faithfully for so many years?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, somebody asked me the other day when I was going to retire, and I said, I think they were kind of hopeful. I said, when they pry my cold, dead fingers off my Bible. And I think, you know what motivates me to the best of my ability and understanding my own motives? I can't get over it, Hank. I can't get over that God saved me. You know, I can't sing Amazing Grace without saying it as a biography of my life. And the thing that drives me is my gratitude for what God so graciously did for me, because I didn't do anything for him. I had no desire for him. He interrupted me in the middle of my paganism and brought me to my knees, forgave every sin I ever committed, and I said I'd crawl over glass to say thank you for that for the rest of my days. I just wish I had more years to preach and to teach, because it's such a joy for me.
you have replicated your life in the lives of so many other people that will continue to carry on that vision and that passion and that mission.
I hope so.
Well, I'm one of them.
Well, you're very kind to say that and kind to have me here on your program. And I always enjoy being with you, even if you're asking for strokes.
Of course, we're talking about golf here.
Yeah.
We stopped doing that a long time ago, asking for strokes.
Yeah, I said I found out a stroke was a disease.
Talking to R.C. Sproul, he is the founder and president of Ligonier Ministries, and you're doing a conference right here in Charlotte.
Yes, in Charlotte. We're doing it Saturday, all day Saturday.
September 8th.
Yes.
You can find out more about it when you go to www.ligonier.org. Find more about how you can attend the conferences that R.C. Sproul continues to put on throughout the world. We've enjoyed talking to R.C. Sproul. The product that we want to put into your hands that we recommend that you get today, The Consequences of Ideas, an Overview of Philosophy, Understanding the Concepts that Shaped Our World. It's available when you give us a call at 888-7000 CRI. Resource consultants are standing by. It's also available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember that this is a ministry that is supported by listeners just like you. We need your help to continue bringing this broadcast to people worldwide. If you can join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, give us a call right now at 888-7000 CRI or log into the World Wide Web and join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team online in a secure fashion on the World Wide Web, again at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Out of time for today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for today's program. We've enjoyed our time with R.C. Sproul. You need only observe the world around us to discover how substantially the ideas of history's thinkers still affect us. You can hear it in the beliefs of your non-Christian friends, in the media, your music, and your children's classrooms. You can see it in our public policies, on every bookstore shelf, in the way we understand our very existence, even in the church. R.C. Sproul traces the contours of Western philosophy throughout history and demonstrates the massive consequences these ideas have had on world events, theology, the arts, our culture, as well as our everyday lives. Call CRI and find out more about the Consequences of Ideas CD collection at 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find the Consequences of Ideas on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid.
I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff.